This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
And that was Brittany Sandoval, the racing school teacher. And guess what, folks? She starts class tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
Without the race car. Yeah. It should be exciting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yes, it will. You're going to be having what we call technology overload.
Yeah.
The segment is brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection, 6622 University Avenue. Check them out if you have any issues with your carburetor, fuel injection. Stan is the man, and he can make it right. If you have a Porsche, Mini, or a BMW, and you're not going to the dealer anymore, and you're looking for a good, honest, upfront shop, Black Forest Motorsports. They've been working on those cars for 40 years. You cannot go wrong. 8066 Engineer Road. Just go to Black Forest Motorsports or blackforestautomotive.com. Make an appointment. Tell them you heard it right here on Racer Radio. All right, Sunshine, who you got for a guest today?
Oh, well, I'm going to have to show you the picture that he just sent. He is calling from his beautiful cabin in Grass Valley. That just sounds beautiful.
I love Grass Valley too.
Yeah, he recently did the run from Vegas to Reno.
Yeah.
And I was telling you, as we were going into commercial, the guy loves to race. He's like, I'll race two wheels, I'll race four, just put me in, coach.
Right.
And I'm not so sure that things went as quite as planned, but I am sure the guy had the right attitude from start to finish. So please welcome Tim Fitzpatrick, or as some know him, Whiskey's Human.
Oh, hey, Tim. How's it going, buddy?
It's going really good. How are you guys today?
That's a pretty good intro, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Thank you, Brittany. That was awesome. And you speak of Whiskey. I'm looking at him right now. He's by the front door, and it's a little warm today, so he's taking a nap, but he's always by my side.
So for all these folks that think Whiskey is a bottle of Jack, it's not. It's a chubby little dog. What breed is that?
He's a bulldog. He's an English bulldog.
He's so cute.
Oh, he is. He's the best. Take him to all the races. He loves to go to the races. He loves people. He loves racing. And he pouts when we come home.
He was pouting when you got home from Wyoming, I believe.
Yes, he was. The motorhome was still out front, and I hadn't had it unloaded yet. And he actually literally just sat out there all day. And he finally, because he gets so hot, he finally moved underneath it, you know, into the shade.
Sure.
But he was like, you know, and we'd spent 16 hours in it the day before coming home.
That's crazy. So what did you race? What the vehicle this time?
So we actually raced, well, in that Wyoming, it was the dwarf car national.
I hadn't told him yet. I didn't tell him you were a dwarf car driver yet.
I knew he's
that
a dwarf
was
car driver.
To come at the end. I was sneaking that in.
She's so funny.
Man.
So what'd you race from Vegas to Reno?
So I've actually two vehicles. We were a part of a motorcycle team. I had a neighbor kid that was doing some work for me, and I've raced motorcycles since almost my whole life. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting there bugging me. He's like, you should let me race your bike. And I'm like, Waylon, you don't understand. It's really dangerous. You know, it's not a matter if you're going to get hurt. It's when and how bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've had a lot of broken bones from racing them over the years. So anyway, yeah, long story short, we started the race, and he, about mile 100, he hit a rock coming into pit four, I believe it was, and he broke his collarbone and fractured one of his vertebrae.
Oh, gosh. I think I saw a picture from a hospital bed, but...
But how old is he?
He's 17.
So. He'll bounce back. He'll bounce back.
Listen to us old people. He'll be fine.
He'll be fine. A couple of Advil and a beer, and he'll be good to go, let me tell you.
Right. He's not old enough to drink yet today. Come on, we can't let him in on that.
But he could think about it.
yes, absolutely.
So
the plan was to, because the bikes start 3 hours before the cars and trucks. So the plan was I was going to pit these guys on up till we got to around Mina, Yarrington, in Nevada there. And then I was going to stop and wait for the UTV that's owned by Mark Leverett out of Reno with M1 Metalworks. Mm-hmm. And he had called me to race with him. And I just have a lot of knowledge. And I used to race a lot of off-road cars back when I was younger, before it got so crazy money to do it. Mm-hmm. And so after that, I just hung out at Mina and waited for the car. And you never know in off-road racing if a car is even going to make it to you. Mm-hmm. And so we hung out there and at pit 9 in Mina and took a nap for a while, because I was actually up at 3 o'clock in the morning, because the bikes start at like 5:45 in the morning and the cars and trucks don't start till later. And then we raced a UTV in the UTV Pro class, but it's naturally aspirated. It's not the unlimited class or the turbo class.
Oh, yeah, all right. Okay.
Yeah. So they were, you know, the car got to me after dark. Just after dark. Mm. The two drivers that ran it, one was James. He owns Reno Kawasaki out of Reno, Nevada. He started the race, did a great job, got the car to Mark in one piece, and then Mark did a great job and got it to me in one piece.
And?
It was a good day. And then I actually got it to the finish line. In one piece, yes. It was making a little noise. Clutch was making some noise. By the time we got there, and we were a little worried, we were going up over the pass out of Yarrington to the finish, and it was starting to really make noise and really started to baby the car. My co-driver, Alex Anderson, at the time, we knew we were catching some people, and I was pushing pretty hard because I lived in Yarrington for about the last 25 years, so I know that area really well.
That's awesome.
So even though it was after dark, it's like, you know, I'm going by braille. I know everything out there. Mm-hmm. And I was pushing hard to try to catch some people. At one point, Alex is like, I know you know this area, but, you know, we're so close to the finish. Can we finish the race?
That's the sound of a passenger if I've ever heard one.
No, I totally agreed with him. I'm like, you're right. And it had rained up over, it's called Como Pass. It's between Yarrington and Dayton, where the race actually finishes. And it's a rock pile up there. It's just rocks everywhere. And I was probably, and it was raining, so it's muddy and it's rocks. And we're probably pushing a little too hard. And then the car started making noise. And so I needed that voice of reason to back off a little bit and bring the car to the finish. But we did pretty good. There was 31 entries, I believe, in the class, and we didn't pre-enter. We entered the day before the race. So I think out of the 31, we started in 30th position, and we ended up finishing eighth.
In
class. Wow. That's awesome. Well, since you turned out to be a dwarf driver, I don't know what your afternoon looks like, but do you think you could call back at like 3:45 and we'll give you the last segment of Racer Radio, and then that way you can make Brittany happy and talk about dwarf cars?
Yeah, I could do that.
Right. If you're not in the middle of anything, tell Whiskey to remind you to call back at 3:45. I know he will.
I will tell him for sure.
Yeah. Does Brittany need to send you a text? Because I got a feeling she'll definitely be all over you.
Oh, no. I can remember that. I'm a mature adult at this point. I don't know.
Some may beg to differ, but okay.
Ooh, the abuse you have to take, my friend.
Well, I'll tell you. I'm 55 years old, and I told somebody the other day I did not start to mature until I hit 50.
Well, here's the way you have to look at it, my friend. How old do you think you would be if you didn't know how old you were today?
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
18, 19, 20. You just got to convince your body. That's the kicker.
That's
yeah.
it.
That's
after
it.
After all these years of motorcycle racing.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you motorcycle stories at the tender age of 75, let me tell you. Hey, we're going to talk to you again at 3:45. Yes, Brittany?
I want to wish a speedy recovery.
Well, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm sure he'll still want to ride, right?
Oh, yeah. He, as a matter of fact, he was in the truck, had tears in his eyes, and he told me that he could not wait till next year.
Ah, that's good. My kind of boy. Good. All right, take a break. We'll be right back. This is Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Whether you're buying new, used, getting your vehicle serviced, and did you know they service every car in your garage? That's right. That's how good El Cajon Ford is. And they support Barona. And mark your calendar. Next Saturday, September 5th, be there or be square. They're opening up the pits, they're opening up the stands, and you'll be able to come out and watch a full afternoon of racing with five, not four, not three, not two. What is all
races
that?
Start at five.
Races start at five. We'll just jump right in. So make sure you are there. Now, who we got in from? Todd's on the line. Hey, Todd, how you doing, buddy?
How are you guys doing?
Okay. Are you getting excited or are you getting nervous? Yeah.
Nervous.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I think everybody's going to behave themselves. They're so excited. I mean, I can't tell you how many people are telling me about it and asking me about it and, you know, asking me if there's any restrictions. I said, no, you just got to behave yourself. Distance and masks and be smart.
Be,
you know,
cool.
Be
that
cool,
was Nick
as
Novak.
Nick Novak said. That's his. We're going to get him a T-shirt that just says be cool.
Be cool.
You know, the thing is just, you know, everyone working together and, you know, doing the social distancing and doing the masks. I know it's new.
Right.
But we just got to go by the rules.
Yeah, without a doubt. Or if we don't, guess what? And we don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that we can finish the year off and, you know, get these four races in.
Right.
And the remainder of the season and just start off fresh in 2021, you know, with everything good to go.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. And I've got a really good feeling about it. I think the people that I've been talking to, and I told them all the same thing, man, you got to wear a mask. You got to do your social distancing. And in fact, I was talking to a buddy of mine that drag races, and he said that the tribe will have people there at the drag strip, you know, when they race, just to make sure they're doing their right thing. And I'm sure they're going to be at the circle track as well, which is fine. We just need to behave and do our social distancing and wear masks, and everybody will be fine.
I'm hoping so as well.
Yeah, I do too.
It's just one of those things that we just, like I said, I'll keep repeating it, that we just need to follow the regulations and, you know, do what we need to do so we can keep everyone cool.
Right, and have some fun. It's going to start at 5. You'll probably be done, what, 9, 9:30, somewhere in that area?
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
We start running the cars at 3:30 for hot laps, and then we hopefully start with the heat races by 5, and then, you know, in the main events and to the 7 to 8 o'clock hour.
Right. Okay. Cool.
Sure, the racers are going to want to know if there's practice on Friday. Did you?
Oh yeah.
Definitive answer.
We're going to do a practice on Friday.
Yes.
We're going to go for it.
Okay.
Cool. Okay,
and
racers, you hear that?
Do the normal deal. Do 4 to 8. I just got to. I'm new to the whole Facebook thing with, you know, doing the posts, so I gotta figure out how to do that. But we're gonna try and do that Friday, and we got a bunch of stuff done this weekend. I just got a bunch more stuff I gotta get done before Saturday.
Hey, I think you got to volunteer for you're not volunteering.
A question.
Thought you were volunteering to do Facebook for him.
I was wondering if junior drivers have a chance to practice. I'm sure we have some listening.
I was planning on trying to do something on Thursday for them. I'm just still trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when we have the kids out there, it just complicates it so much, you know, as far as with the big cars.
Sure.
So I was waiting to talk to Bun Boy to see if he could go out there on Thursday afternoon and do something like, you know, 3 to 7 or something like that.
Right. Just, so of course, organize it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just still in the, you know, the planning stages of that. I just got to figure it out.
So the answer will be on Facebook. Is that where listeners should look?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. That sounds good. Yeah, I ran into Tom from the fire and safety truck at a restaurant, and you know, he's about as quiet as anybody could be, right? This dude was on the edge of his chair. He's so
excited.
Oh, my God.
Yay.
And he was so excited, I didn't recognize him.
Well, he doesn't know what to do with himself, I'm sure.
No, he really doesn't.
Doing this for so long, and then it even affected him.
I'm sitting there having dinner, and all of a sudden I hear, "Are you going Saturday night?"
Yeah, just like that, huh?
And I went, "What the hell was that?" You know, I looked up. I thought the good Lord was calling me to come with him. I go, "No, I'm not ready to go yet." But then of course, we had a great conversation. So, yeah. So, everybody I've talked to is excited. Super, super excited.
They were even out at our practice that you offered earlier in the year.
Yeah.
The whole crew was out there. It was awesome. I felt so good having them there at the practice.
Well, they want to get out there again. I mean, it's driving them crazy, just like it's driving everybody else crazy. But, yeah, so it's going to be so much fun. Are you going to have, you know, this coming Saturday, are there going to be any money to be won? Are you looking for donations? Because I'm happy to throw something at you.
Nothing special. We're just going to do the regular, you know, Saturday night deal and just hope everything goes good.
Okay. That's
food in the stands for our spectators.
Yes. Raul's going to be there. In the pits and in the stands.
Todd's got answers this week. He's got answers.
Well, that's because he took a whole week off. He's fresh. He's relaxed. He's ready to go.
Okay, nice.
He's just going to do the basics on the food.
Sure.
He's not going to be doing tri-tip or anything like that. Yeah. I think he's just doing hamburgers and hot dogs, just the basics.
Yeah, and you know, they always taste better at a racetrack. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
I don't know what that is.
Absolutely, like my favorite thing when I used to go watch baseball. Hot dog.
For some reason, when you go to a racetrack or even a ballpark, you know, the food always tastes better out there. I don't know what it is. Well, it should be an exciting Saturday night. So, folks, mark your calendar.
Yeah.
And when are you going to open the doors for the spectators?
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock?
For the spectators or the racers?
The gates open at noon for everyone.
Oh, Whoa. Wow. So if you want to go out and see some hot lapping and some practice. Yes, dear.
Sorry, I raised my hand just so. Will spectators, because of the social distancing, be allowed to go into the pits at the end of the races?
Good question.
Well, it's just always been really cool for the spectators, but I didn't know with these times.
Yeah, well, I would imagine masks for sure.
Yes.
Masks for sure.
I would say yes on that.
And then if you see 30 people at say, you know, one of the drivers, then you can't go there. Go see another driver.
Yes.
Because you're not going to be able to organize that. You don't have enough people to police that. So people need to really police themselves. I mean, they really, if they want to go see a specific driver and there's a bunch of people over there already there, go see somebody else, you know, give them some accolades, and then you can always go back.
Because
these people people could rotate around so they can see all the different drivers and see all the different cars. But, you know, be smart about it. You know, if you see a large group around, you know, one group, just move on to another group and then come back to it. So that way everybody gets a little bit of love.
Now I get a slice of love.
Exactly. Yeah. All right.
Dirt Dude was out yesterday and we were checking the sound system and all that stuff.
Yeah, cool.
And, you know, I'm kind of talking to him about what he thought we should do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's going to just, you know, keep announcing every, you know, so often about social distancing and the masks and all that stuff. And we're going to plan on buying, you know, some of those disposable ones.
Right.
You know, and handing out to people if they needed them as well. And, you know, doing what we needed to do.
Sure.
So we're going to get the sanitizer things, you know, the port, the stations, wash stations.
Yeah.
And put those around and probably get the bottles for the hand sanitizer.
Mm-hmm.
Do everything we can to help everybody.
Right. So that way nobody has an excuse and says, well, I don't have a mask or I didn't bring that. No, it's right here. Here's a mask. Put it on. You know, you'll look good. Give them a felt pen so they can put happy faces on.
Yeah, smile, exactly.
Smiley
good
faces.
Idea. So I just looked up the weather, and I Googled weather Verona, and I am seeing the high of 103 degrees.
At night?
I just want to say, prepare. We have raced in extreme heats before.
Yeah, bring
been
water.
Been there, done that. Hydrate, and then in between hydrating, hydrate.
Yeah. And if you want to, hydrate.
And this goes to the spectators as well.
Absolutely.
Just hydrate, everybody. Yeah. And if you're in the top row, maybe they can have an umbrella.
Well, you normally get a breeze out there. It may be 100 degrees, but there's always a breeze up on that mountain.
But we haven't always had masks on. So just be prepared.
Yeah.
Bring a cooler of ice.
Yes, absolutely.
Just stay cool. Be cool. Literally and figuratively.
As Nick Novak would say, just be cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it sounds like, I mean, I'm excited as can be. I'm going to be there. In fact, I'm even trying to figure out some way to get something that I can move around the pits and everything instead of walking. So.
Really? A little three-wheeler?
I don't know. I'm thinking about finding something. I got to go maybe next week and go beat up Moto World or somebody.
Yeah, you could do that, I bet.
Get me a little pit bike, you know, and say I want it, and then I'll just bring it back on Monday and say I didn't like it.
Oh, my gosh, you're terrible.
Well, no, that's the way you do it. Isn't that the way you do it, Todd? Right?
Yeah.
Clean it off first.
There you go. That or you go write a check, a big fat check, and buy one.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know how that goes. Yeah. If I made the money, I would. I know, I'll buy one, charge it to El Cajon Ford, and I'll have El Cajon Ford decals put all over it. There we go. Now we're talking.
Billboard with wheels.
So did you have a good time last week, my friend?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes, we had a good time.
How many years anniversary?
12.
Congratulations, man.
Very nice.
Thank you.
And you've got an absolute sweetheart for a wife, too, so you're one lucky dude.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, totally our pleasure. All right, so folks, go to the Facebook page for Barona or go to the website next Saturday night. Gates open at noon.
Yeah.
So you can get there early if you like. If you're a racer, there'll be practice on Friday.
Yeah.
Maybe on Thursday, just stay on Facebook and the website. That'll keep you abreast for the little kids on Thursday. And go out, have a ton of fun. But be cool and be prepared. Drink tons of water and, you know, and just enjoy yourself. And whenever you see any of the Barona crew, you walk up and you thank them for doing this because, you know, trust me, it's not as easy as it looks. And if anybody out there thinks you can run a track, you just knock yourself out. Todd will hand you the keys in a nanosecond for one weekend race and see what you think, right?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. All right. Well, hey, go enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and we'll see you next Saturday. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Right. Bye.
We're going to take a quick break. We come back a whole lot more right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Half-mile track up in Paris, California. And let me tell you what, it is off the chart. That is one wild track. Go to ParisAutoSpeedway.com. Check out their upcoming race schedule so you, too, can be part of the program. That's Paris Auto Speedway. All right, we have a very, very special guest on the line. We've got a gentleman by the name of Dean Mills. He is, according to Scott Delosio, he's a shooter. No, not guns. He shoots videos. And he's been doing shooting races for over 35 years. Dean, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
So how many clods of dirt have you gotten in the forehead?
Over the years, too many to count, to be
honest. That's why you're still shooting races, right?
Right. I just can't get enough abuse.
Well, if you can't get behind the wheel of the car, I think being a videographer / shooter is second best, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, I started at a very young age. At the age of 14, I was my dad raced stock cars at a local track up here in Northern California called Placerville Speedway.
Oh,
I know it well. Yeah. I'm from Vallejo. So.
Oh, that's cool. Well, Jeff Gordon, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I went to school with his dad, and his dad was a jerk. But that's another story.
All right.
Just had to throw that out there.
But I started shooting races, at 14, and my dad, just before I turned 16, basically sold the car.
No.
And yeah, but I didn't show enough interest in the mechanical aspect of the car for his taste. So I pretty much, you know, early on in life, had my path set out before me. Shooting races.
Yeah. So I understand you're the guy behind Flow Racing.
No, I work for Flow Racing.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood, but
we my production company does a lot of events out here on the West Coast for Flow Racing. So, and my production team is actually at a race right now at Petaluma Speedway.
Preparing for
the race tonight.
All right, oh, getting ready for the race tonight. How cool is that? I know. I'm so glad. Are they allowing fans at Petaluma tonight?
They aren't. We're still pretty much without fans anywhere here in Northern California, except for one track is allowed 100 fans per event because it's not a fairgrounds facility. So.
Oh yeah, the fairgrounds are it's really puts a kink in it because I don't think Paris is going to open up quite yet either. Are they?
I haven't heard any updates on Paris Auto Speedway of late, but I'm not hopeful. The governor has us all locked down.
I know. Well, Barona next Saturday is going to allow spectators and five divisions at Barona Speedway. So, and, you know, the last segment, I don't know how much you were online, but you know, the major emphasis is we got to be cool. We got to wear our masks. We got to stay 6 feet apart. Because our track is on an Indian reservation, and the tribe will have people in the stands, and they will have them in the pits, and they will be watching to make sure we cross our T's and dot our I's. And the last thing we want to do is stumble and get shut down, you know, because this will be a test.
Absolutely right. You know, we're at the tracks that we have been able to open, they've been adhering to social distancing rules and regulations and wearing masks and things like that. I can't wait.
Oh, I know.
Back to normal.
All right. So I have to ask you, what was your first camera that you did your shooting with?
Honestly, I don't remember it because it didn't belong to me. I actually started helping a guy that sponsored my dad's race car, and he... You know, it was just something he owned. The first one I purchased in '88, I was 18 by then, and I kind of went off on my own, was a Panasonic, you know, camcorder of some sort.
great big box up on your shoulder.
Yeah, I think my mom had one of those at all my meets and games.
But that's all you had.
But and it, I'm glad she was there with it,
sure.
I'm glad you're there at the races when we can't be.
Yeah, no.
I've enjoyed watching the races even at a distance.
So I understand you have a website that has a lot of vintage races on film. Where would that be?
MillsVideo.tv.
Okay.
It's a website that's basically going to be, it's considered a database essentially for all the races that I've shot over the years. I'm going to spend the rest of my life building it. And there's, you know, 1,000 races on there right now, but
that's cool.
Over the course of my career, you know, I do 100 races a year, not this year.
Right.
With the pandemic and everything, it's been a little bit slow, but I've been doing 100 races a year for 20 years, and beyond that, I don't, I don't know exactly how many races I've shot in my life, but it's more than I can count.
Too many rocks in the forehead.
Fingers and toes.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Too many rocks in the forehead. That's what I'm talking about.
I like, I saw it's kind of a mission statement, if you will, on your Facebook page. You're committed to preserving the history of our beloved sport.
Right.
Well said. And I'm thankful for that, whether it was a race back that you filmed when you were 18 or as recent as Placerville.
Right.
Our own Darren Brown, local boy. They started calling him Downtown.
Darren Brown.
And he loved Placerville. The guys from down here, they go race up there
love
it. And our boy won both nights.
Well, it is kind of why Brittany and I do this motorsport show. I'm the only motorsport guy in San Diego, and I've been doing it for almost 30 years. Because nobody else is doing it. And we got to have an outlet for racers. And I don't care what you race. It could be a bicycle. It could be a boat. It could be a dwarf car.
What?
Or it could be anything you want it to be. Just like you. You'll shoot any motorsport event, right? No matter what.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. I mean, I have my preferences.
Yeah.
World of Outlaw Sprint Cars is something I love doing. The USAC National Sprint Cars.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that.
Ooh, which reminds me, I think you're a Kyle Larson fan, aren't you?
I am. I know Kyle. he's from locally here in Elk Grove, but I've been shooting him, you know, basically for 10 years. And when I was living in Indiana as USAC's official videographer, I'd been hearing about this kid forever.
Mm-hmm.
And all my friends, you know, from here in California were telling me, oh, you got to watch this kid coming up. He's the next Jeff Gordon. And I was like, yeah, you know, have him prove it to me. Well,
he has time and time again.
Boy, did you, are you eating your lunch on that one? Hey, do me a favor. Have you got a pencil?
I do.
Write down my email, stalld@cox.net. STALL, and then D for David, @cox.net.
Okay.
Give Kyle a call. I've interviewed him before, and see if he'll call in, or we can do it midweek or have him call in on a Sunday. And the only thing I want to talk to him about is dirt racing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention NASCAR. I'm not going to mention that stupid thing that those people are all saying. All I want to do is talk to him about his dirt racing. And and I'm a very positive, upbeat interviewer, and that's all I want to do, because I want to give our fans an opportunity to listen to an up-and-coming legend, because he is truly a legend.
You know, we can talk to him about late model racing now,
well,
too.
Yeah, he just won that. I got to tell you, I was at Paris Auto Speedway, and I walked by him. And my buddy that was with me, I says, hey, check out that little 12-year-old kid. I wonder how well he's going to do. Well, I didn't say it to Kyle. But
did you know it was Kyle Larson?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But then somebody says, you know that's Kyle Larson. I went, kidding. I had no idea.
Yeah, he's in his late 20s now.
But doesn't he look like a 12-year-old even today?
He's still very young looking.
Well, I think he grew a mustache trying to get away from that childish thing. But, man, you tell me. Now, you've been doing this a long time, and I've been doing it longer than you, but you name me another guy that has as much talent as that kid.
I've never seen – so I didn't get to see Boyd and Andretti in their prime. I tell people this. You know, I got to preface this by saying I didn't see, you know, guys that are considered the greatest of their generation. I didn't see Parnelli in his prime. But I've never seen a guy who is as adaptable and naturally gifted in a race car as Kyle Larson.
And you brought up a good point. I will preface what I said. I don't think I've seen anybody that's as good since Parnelli Jones and Andretti. And I'm glad you brought that up. And there's a handful of other drivers out there, the Swindells. I get it. But for a young kid coming up the way he has and taking to the dirt and being able to drive and, like you said, read the dirt, understand the car, convey that to his crew chief, because really that's what makes the wins, when you can tell your crew chief what the car's doing and what you want it to do.
Yeah, I think that's right. But he does more with a race car than anybody I've ever seen.
He wins with junk. I mean, you can give him
I don't see him race with junk.
I bet he's raced it in the past. I bet he has.
He's driven cars in the past that weren't as good as something else. And he still managed to do something with nothing. And I've been saying for years that he's been carrying the Ganassi. Carrying that team and needs an opportunity with an A team, not a B team.
Right.
They're a B team, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm right there with you.
I'm going to get some blowback for that, maybe, but I don't care. I mean, Kansas isn't doing anything with it right now.
No.
And I've kind of sworn off NASCAR right now because I'm pretty upset with just the way that series has you know.
I'm right there with you. Without being political, I'm right there with you.
I was a Glory Days NASCAR fan, like 80s, 90s, and they have destroyed that product. They have taken all, like, the way I see it, you know, over the years, the fans have dwindled, and it's because the competition-based fan is gone. The people who are interested in the racing, the ones that want to deal, want to enjoy the, you know, as the wheel turns kind of soap opera that it's become, they're still there.
Yeah.
But the ones that are there for the racing, they're gone.
Well, I have
that's including me.
I have an Earnhardt shrine at my house, okay? And it's probably, it covers a whole wall, and I've got just about anything and everything that Earnhardt ever did. I never had a chance to meet him, but when he passed away, I lost all enthusiasm, because then all of a sudden NASCAR became politically correct. I mean, I don't like the breaks they take in the middle, but we could do a whole show just on that alone. But I think the true fans get it. And buddy, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your Sunday. You're always welcome to call. And if you'd be so kind as to contact Kyle and just tell him we can either do a midweek live-to-tape interview or he could call in live, we, you know, Brittany and I would be absolutely thrilled to chat with him. That would be a true diamond in the rough for us. Even though I've interviewed him in the past, he may not remember me because he talks to a lot of people. But I would appreciate it if you did that.
I think at this point, he's just letting the racing do the talking.
You think? Yeah, I think. Yeah. All right.
He really has curtailed, you know, his media presence at the
Well,
time.
Yeah.
He's afraid to, probably.
No, he doesn't have to. He doesn't really have to. He's letting the racing do his talking. When you work for a team like Ganassi, you know, there's a lot of media stuff that you're expected to do. And so I get it. So just tell him if he wants to call, talk some dirt racing, we're here for him.
All right, I will pass that along.
You're the best. All right, give out your website one more time.
MillsVideo.tv. We also are streaming live at Petaluma Speedway tonight on FlowRacing.com.
All right.
That's
I'll
awesome.
Personally be at the Houston Speedway for the World of Outlaws this weekend, this coming weekend, on DirtVision.tv.
All right, awesome. We'll be watching. All right, buddy, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I don't know if that buddy of yours called in, but maybe he did. Oh, he's on the line.
Yes, he's
and
a
his
grown
name
up.
Is
Tim Fitzpatrick.
We'll be right here listening to him on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by the good folks at Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in lovely Santee. Go to CertifiedCarCare.net, CertifiedCarCare.net. All right. Well, we decided to bring
Whiskey's person back.
Yep. Tim Fitzpatrick. He races here, there, and everywhere. We found out he does dwarf racing. In fact, he was somewhat instrumental in getting Brittany to go to the Nationals.
Yeah, I did tell
him. And Brittany said, Nationals, I don't need to rent a car.
Oh, gosh.
And he goes, no, not the rental car company.
Yeah, I told him off air that you did maybe plant that seed.
And
back
she
at the
got all
Sessa.
Goosebumpy. You know, you should have seen it. So how long have you been racing dwarf cars?
I've been racing, I think I bought my car in 2015, thanks to Glenn Shirani.
Another good one.
I broke my wrist really bad in the Baja 500 that year, racing the bike. And I went, when it was still healing, Glenn actually came in. I was selling cars at the time at Wild West. And he's like, you need to get off those bikes, because he used to race bikes.
Duh.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not ready to get off the bikes yet, Glenn. He goes, well, just, and I said, I did roundy round stuff when I was in my 20s.
Roundy round?
I did those pure stock.
Yeah.
They call them a beep stock sometimes.
Sure.
And I was like, wasn't any fun. You just map the car and it's like, he goes, no, you have to come drive one of these. Anyways, long story short, I got to go to race his car and I was like, wow, these things are kind of fun. And so you let it out of the bag because, Brittany, I was going to tell him about that. I was going to tell you, Dave, about that.
About what?
Him hooking you up to the Nationals.
Yeah. It was down there at the Harvest Hustle. It was my first and only Harvest Hustle. And I had never met Brittany, knew nothing about her. And then it's like, who is this woman out there banging bars with me?
You were banging bars with him?
That's how we met in tech afterwards. Like, who are you? Who are you? That was fun.
Well, the best part was when you said to her, so who's driving this car? And you said, me.
Yeah,
you.
Shouldn't you be doing dishes somewhere?
Oh, my God. Thank you. Now that I've got her on the ceiling, thank you very much.
Well, but then he got to know me.
Yes. And he decided not to have you do dishes.
No.
She is a true and true racer, and she's tough competition. And it's like, you know, when you get out there and you're going in a corner and you're starting to bang Nerf bars, and this person isn't giving you any leeway, I was like, you need to come do the National.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yep, you planted that seed then talked to my crew who said, we knew you were going to say that. And then I talked to Team Brown, and that was a combination of just making it a reality and so many good memories.
They can't wait to go back.
Yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
When are you coming back?
I'm hoping 2021 season. I'm hoping. I'm going through a full remodel, which is kicking my tail right now.
And she found mold. She's not having a good day. So that's why she decided to come in today, just so she could forget about mold for an hour.
But I've been watching you guys and living vicariously through all of you. Yeah.
And see, you're still in a motorcycle, right? You got the engine, so you're halfway there.
Tim?
Yeah.
He's got a new dwarf car. Don't you have a new one this year?
I do. Todd Dameron with Dameron Chassis finally built me a new car, and still, you know, working out a few things, trying to get used to it, but it's a great, great car. Love it.
And it has a motorcycle engine in it, right?
Yeah.
See, there you go. I told you. The acorn didn't fall too far.
Yeah. Tim's got a great attitude. I remember distinctly at Colorado Nash. I think it was a regional last year in Colorado on 4th of July. And he just started talking to me about his approach. He's just a little more laid back, you know, not taking everything so serious. He was able to refocus me because I had a really rough start that weekend.
Yeah.
And after talking to him, my whole weekend changed.
Right.
And it's all about the better.
It's all about attitude. It's all high. And I got to tell you a story on her, too. So I'm at the track at Verona.
What'd I do wrong?
And she's in the car and she's getting ready to go out. So I thought, well, you know, I'll go up and I'll say hi.
Oh, he always tells a story.
Oh, my goodness. You thought I was talking to a nun. She didn't want to talk to me. It's like, go away. I'm getting ready to go out. And I walked away and I sniffled a little bit. And
the real story, listeners and Tim, is that the track was screaming in my ear, probably because there was a crash from the race before. And I was just telling him, I can't hear you. That's the real story.
That's not what she said. You know what I'm talking about, Tim.
Absolutely. She could have unplugged the racer.
I know. That's what I was thinking. But oh, no, we're not going to do that.
I will remember that, number 14. I will remember that.
Hey, I do this to every single driver that ever comes on. Who are your sponsors? Because you're going to send this interview to your sponsors. And you're going to thank them profusely. You can
do motorcycles
first if you want, and you can do the dwarf car second. So who have you got that's helped you get to where you're at today?
Well, I have to go. Well, let me tell you real quick. In your intro, you have, you know, you mentioned White Knuckle. And so I had a motorcycle store that was called White Knuckle Motorsports. So myself with my White Knuckle, and it was from 04 to 2011. But since then, you know, I worked for Wild West Chevrolet out of Yerington, Nevada, and they helped me out for quite a few years. My mom and dad, of course. I'm 55. I'm a big kid, but
that's okay.
I wouldn't be racing without them from my teenage years on. Safe Lube out of, they don't support me now, but Safe Lube out of Reno, Nevada. If it wasn't for my dad and my mom allowing me to take me all over the country to race motorcycles at a young age, I wouldn't be doing this.
Wow.
And then, of course, Todd Dameron.
There we go.
With Dameron Chassis. He helps me out so much. He comes to the races and helps me. But I have to tell you a story. My very first national win came in Medford, Oregon, and he was there with his car. He had Matt Sargent in it, and his son, Chance, was there. And I had Chance's old car at the time. And Chance is the one that actually came over, helped me set up that car, and took me out and helped me get my very first national win.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Thank you, Chance Dameron, for that.
Very nice.
And then at Honey Girl Farms, they helped me out to help me get with me where I'm at, and Glenn Cerrone. And that's pretty much everybody. Right. Thank you very much to everybody that's got me here.
All right. So Brittany showed me a picture of the most unbelievable, beautiful cabin up in Grass Valley. But where is the shop? Why isn't there a 60 by 100 foot shop up there somewhere?
So when I went to the county to get a building permit, that was it. You know, you build your garage first, right? Your beautiful shop. And they're like, no, county regulations are you have to have a home before you ever get to build a shop.
Oh.
So, yeah, my house is almost done. We're like really close. And the next project is a shop. And I've been looking at metal buildings and everything else to get there.
U.S. Steel has some really good deals, and they're all permitted to. You're still in California, right? So they're all permitted to come into California, and they got some really, really nice buildings. So you might want to take a look at what they have to offer.
Absolutely, U.S. Steel. I'll take that to note and check those guys out.
Yeah,
because I definitely need a shop. I need a shop so bad.
Well, of course you do. What guy doesn't need a shop?
I know.
And especially after getting a little bug going to Vegas to Reno, I'm itching to get back in an off-road car again.
Oh boy.
Mark's going to let me race next weekend in Yerington, Nevada, where I lived for years. We're going to go do that race. I get to drive off and race for him again.
That's what I wanted to ask. What's your next race? So it sounds like you've got that on the calendar already, and that you won't be coming down to Verona.
No, it's the same weekend, September 5th and 6th.
Yeah, but you'll come down to Verona sometime. And if you come down, we'll drag you into the station and have you come into the radio and do the show.
Yeah.
That would be great. You know, I see all the advertisements for Verona, and it's a pretty good long trek, but I don't mind making the trek. I go everywhere.
Yeah.
Hey.
Every time.
It's San Diego. How bad could it be? We'll take good care of you. Buddy, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate you calling in two times. You were the best, and we'll be talking to you down the road.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, folks. This is Racer Radio. It's over. I hate it. But that's okay. We're back next week. This is FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
And she's the best.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.